Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, dear God. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, dear God, I'm going to start a new series. Man, I had a problem saying that out. That was a new series. But we're going to start a new series today, and it's about trusting God's plan. So this is right in line with what you're dealing with, right? I think that as we go through life, there are many things that happen. How many of you know that God has a plan for your life? Keisha Kayla, God has a plan for your life. You know that, right? And it's our job to walk in that plan. And there's times we even have to ask God, what is your plan for me? I'm trying to figure out, God, I want to do what pleases you. So I need to, first of all, in order to know God's plan fully, I'll even say this, even before you get saved, you might have a glimpse of the plan, but to walk out the plan in its fullness of what God wants for you, you have to, his number one plan for you is to have a relationship with him. Amen. So we must have a relationship with God so that we can walk forth in his plan. Many times failure, tragedy, and other circumstances of life cause us to question God and his plan for us. Anybody been there before? God, you said this, or this plan is not looking like it's working the way that it should be working. Circumstances cause us to question God's plan. But guess what? God is not moved by circumstances. God is not moved by tragedy. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't care, right? God still loves us, but God's plan is not changed by tragedy. When 9/11 happened to the United States, God's plan didn't change, right? Some people looked at God and blamed God, but that wasn't God. God didn't do that. But because we live in a sinful world, we have the results of sin in our life. Right? When people lose family members, that is not God saying, I'm getting rid of these people. Right? Because sin exists in this world, people die. Right? And it was, unfortunately, Adam, and we can't always blame Adam because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So since you have fallen short of the glory of God, sin lives in your world. Amen. But through it all, God still has a plan that he wants to unravel to you or reveal to you so that you can be okay, so that you can know and keep moving. I heard one pastor say this before. He was like, hey, he was getting on an airplane ride. And this was after all the airplanes was crashing and everything like that. And they asked him, hey, man, are you worried about dying? He's like, no. Because I haven't finished the plan God has for me. I know that God told me to go here and preach the gospel, right? So he's like, I don't have to worry about anything because God's plan is still in motion. And guess what? God's plan, it will protect you if you're walking in his plan. Amen? So I just want to encourage, first of all, us to know that God's plan, he has a huge plan for us, amen? And no matter what your circumstances look like, God's plan will prevail if you hold on to it, amen? Anybody ever try to get on you guys ever got on behind a boat on a banana boat or some skis or a jet ski that was pulled by? If you let go, you're not going with that boat anymore. Right? You're going to be stuck in the middle of the water. Hopefully you got a life jacket, right? But if you hold on to it, you will continue to go wherever that boat leads you. You will continue to go there and make, and you will be okay when you hold on to the plan of God. Amen. So look, check this out. Let's go by key scriptures for this series. We're gonna read these over and over. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. One of my favorite scriptures. But this is very important for us to trust God's plan in our life. In order for us to trust God's plan, we have to trust God. Right? See, some of us, we're so concerned with the plan, we trust the plan, we trust in the plan more than we trust in God. Right? Or even people trust in man more than they trust in God. I had another song on the CD that I put out that was called, it was saying, man can't make me. Man can't make me and man can't break me. Man is a vacancy for God to use. And that's the truth. Why? Because sometimes we go to our job and we're like, man, if I could just meet up with this right person, I could be good. Right? If I connect with this guy right here, life will be perfect. You guys ever had that? If I want to get a raise, if I just know that person, I might get a raise. Or me being in the music business, there's been times where if I knew the right person, I can get on a tour. You want to get me? Okay, cool. So what begins to happen is you begin to look at man instead of looking at God. And now you're trusting in your plan over the plan of God. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord. Don't even trust in your plan yet. Let's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, okay? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Who's him? God. And he shall direct your paths. Let me even keep on going. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns, see, look, we even see how trusting God and doing what God says, he's going to bring increase. It says, so your barns, now obviously we don't have barns, so what would that be for us? Our homes, right? So our barns or homes will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. All right, I'm going to stop there. But the key scripture that we want to look at is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. When we are looking at the plan of God, we need him to direct our plans. The Bible says in Proverbs, many are the plans of a man in his own heart, but it's the plans of God that will prevail. Right, I had plans and I was like, oh man, I want it to look like this when I'm 30. I would love to have this kind of car. I'd love to live in this kind of house. But it didn't happen. A lot of us got many plans that we put forth. Right, my dad said he wanted to be the president at 18. Right, and God had to let him know that's not going to work. But we have plans. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, right? Sometimes your plans are not evil. God doesn't look at everything you come up with and be like, that's evil. But if it allows you to miss out on who God is, that's going to be a problem. We were talking about, just before we got started, Brother Art was just sharing about the lesson. Sometimes we have plans, and when it doesn't work out, God teaches us lessons in those times. I remember when I first stepped out doing my own business full time, it was the hardest thing I ever faced. And I didn't have answers, but I had prayer. Amen. And God would just say, it's going to be okay. I remember hearing him say that. We almost lost my condo, our condo. And God kept saying, I got you, son. Don't worry. Right? So I'm like, okay, the bill collector's asking me, when you going to pay? I don't know, but God said it's going to get taken. I said this to the people. And, you know, I don't know if they believed or not. I didn't care, but that's the only answer I had. So we missed close to 9 months of our mortgage payment. I stayed talking to them, and finally God opened the door so we can get the money to pay that. Amen? But then it happened again. Second time. Now, see, after the first time, I would be like, okay, God, I learned a lesson. God, how do you let this happen again? Anybody had those times? God, it happened again. But see, check it out. The second time, it wasn't as bad as the first time. And even though I couldn't get, it didn't get as bad as it did the first, it might have been like, I really had a lot of late payment fees that they kept adding up. And I was like, hey, can we get rid of it? They're like, no, you're going to have to pay that. And I'm like, okay, can we roll it over into the back of the contract? I mean, I'm with you guys for 25 years of my life. Just put it on. I don't know. See, for a side note, let's do a side note. When you have car payments, and Art, you get people into the car payments business, right? When you have a car payment, you could pay it on time for 40 months, right? Well, usually they're, what is the 5-year deals? So 60 months. So let's say I pay it on time for 40 months. No problems. But on the 41st month, I don't have the money. They want to come take the car, right? And if you're late a little, I asked one people, I was like, man, I really can't pay it until this. It's going to be late, I know. And you know, they were like, well, if you can't afford it, we can come get it. And I'm like, you're not getting my car. Right? I'm almost done. I only owe $500 or $700, maybe $1,000. Like, but they don't roll it in the end. I'm like, man, just give me a couple more months to pay the thing. But then one time I talked to one lady and she was like, you can't pay it this month. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. And I was like, whoa, what's your name? So I could call you back anytime I have a problem. But what we see is sometimes our plan, when we bought the car, our plan was, most of it should have been to pay it off, right? But some things happen along that way. But guess what? Even with us, God has plans, and God's plans will prevail. That's the thing about God. See, God, I remember the first time somebody told me I was going to be a pastor, I was like, yeah, right. They weren't even Christians. And I was like, I'm going to be a pastor? Man, you're tripping. All I wanted to do at that time was play basketball or football, and I was kind of fizzing out on football. I was like, I didn't like to hit at that time, and I had to hit. But anyway, what happens is God's plan, even when we don't desire it to be in the place, he will allow things to get us back into place so that we can trust his plans. Amen. The other scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. We've heard this before. I think the backdrop of this scripture is very important because this scripture was written to the Israelites as they were getting ready to go into captivity, or in other words, slavery, right? But God says, even if you trust me, check this out. See, look, even if it doesn't look good in the natural, God's plan can still prevail. He said, trust me on this one. Just say, hey, I'm free. Hey, I'll freely become a slave to you guys, and it'll be all right. Now, some people were like, that ain't God. Anybody heard somebody say that? God said, I'm supposed to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And you told me that God told me to be a slave, right? You ever heard somebody say some stuff like that? Those same people, they don't work very long at their jobs because they have that attitude. But guess what? God still calls us to serve. Amen? And in this moment, Jeremiah had a word from the Lord that said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then it says in verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Yes. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Okay? So even when things look like they're out of control, first of all, we need to see Jeremiah. He had that relationship with God. So in this moment of test, because you're going to be tested on the plan that God gives has given you. The worst misconception of Jesus Christ that people get in the church is everything's going to be fine. Right? Now, that's not biblical. It's not biblical. You can't tell me that everything's going to be fine when believers are facing persecution as part of the Christian faith, as part of the plan of God. Right? But in the midst of that persecution, he will still give peace. He will deliver. Like when I saw this man who was beheaded, he wasn't worried. It was like I was tripping like, oh, my gosh. But he was fine. Why? Because I looked up the scripture that same day. It says, even in the midst of turmoil, he will keep you in perfect peace for those who have their eyes stayed on Jesus. Amen. We even look at Stephen when he was stoned. It said he had the face of an angel, right? He's getting hit with rocks. He had the face of an angel. And by having that face, it showed that the peace of God surrounded him during that time. Amen? So guess what? Even when you're going through turmoil, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, he will keep you in perfect peace. Amen? Somebody say, he will keep me in peace. All right. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. We're gonna go through the story of Abraham. And as I was going through this situation in my life, I actually came out with a CD called The Fight of Faith. It was birthed out of this, the plan of God, and understanding, man, I got to keep fighting for what God has said. And the faith thing is trusting in God more than I trust in myself. And I can say by going through that situation in my life, it allowed my faith to be strengthened, right? See, some people, if you go to the gym and you don't lift weights, you won't get stronger. Or if you don't exercise, but in order to exercise, you have to face some kind of resistance to get stronger, right? In your faith life, I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago or a couple series ago. You have to be tested for your faith to grow. Your faith, it says we go from faith to faith. We go through from faith to faith by facing things in life that cause us to use our faith. Amen? And guess what? You don't go to faith to faith if you lose your faith. Right? You can't go to level 10. There's no cheat code to get to level 10. Right? You have to go from level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's the same thing in God. But Abraham's story, as I was going through that part of my life, I think that Abraham, I looked at Abraham a lot because he had to go to uncharted territory. It wasn't really clear in the beginning where he was going, but he heard a word from God and he left. And when you hear a word from God and you move, let's just see what happened in Abraham's story, okay? Genesis chapter 12 says, now the Lord had said to Abram, and this was before his name was Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Now, this is the word that God gave him. Out the blue, right? Leave your house, your land, your family, to a land that I will show you. So in this story, Abram does not know where he's going. Right? Any of us ever have situations like that? We don't know where we're going. But we heard God say something. Even if it might not be specific to your story or your life, but you've heard God say something before. You've heard a scripture and you know, okay, I still got to do the right thing. Even though it's looking bad, I can't just start doing the wrong thing because I know that's not God's plan for my life. So it says in verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. All right? I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, let's talk about this blessing and curse thing right here. Abraham wasn't cursing anybody, right? No. God said, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. So why does God do this? Because God is protecting the plan that he has on Abraham as long as he walks in what God has for you. Guess what? When you walk in the plan of God in your life, and as you continue to move forth in your plan, when people try to fight against the plan of God in your life, they're not only fighting against you, they're fighting against God. And you can't win that. But we don't get cocky and be like, oh, you can't fight me because I'm God's. And you know, no, we don't do that. We let God take care of it. And if you have the heart of God, your heart should be like, God, help them. Help them understand the plan of God that's in my life, but also the plan that's for their life. Because a lot of times what happens is that opposition is fueled by the enemy. So we're really praying that God release them from the hold of the enemy, even if they don't realize it. Amen? It says in verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. So what did Abram? He left. And Lot went with him. That's interesting that Lot went with him right here. This is very interesting because if you watch the story of Lot, Lot was kind of, the story of Lot is very interesting. Was that part of God's plan for Lot to go with Abram? We don't know. But Lot did. And Abram was 75 years old. Somebody say 75. When he departed from Haran. Now, it's interesting because he's old. Right? Now, in our age, he's old. But back then, 75, how long did Abraham live? Till like 800 something? 170? Yeah, because this was after Noah. After Noah, God cut down the days because he was like, I can't take this. These people were living too long. Right? So he was 75, which is about half his life. Okay? Let's just put it in that perspective. So that's like my parents. They 50 years old, right? You live to 100, that's a good life in the United States because people eat too much. They don't exercise enough, right? So let's say at that time, God instructs you at that age to go a whole nother way, right? Now, some people will be like, God, man, I'm trying to enjoy life now. I'm retired, right? I done worked up now. And now you want me to do something else? Well, guess what? That's the plan of God. For us, for 75 years, we can look at Abraham and say he did not, he may have fulfilled the plan of God at that moment, but God had a bigger plan for him. And guess what? There's going to be little plans that God has for you to lead you to his full plan. Amen? So it says, verse 5, then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan, so they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram. Okay, so look, this is key. Some of us, we want to hear or see God move in our life, right? You don't get to see God move in your life until you move on the plan that he's given. You see how that works? Abraham didn't see God at that moment. He heard God, which is great, right? And I'm not going to say that when you walk in the plan of God that you're going to see God. But you're going to see God at work. Amen? When I was in this situation, I was telling you about, I saw God at work. God would do certain things that would confirm what he told me. Right? I even seen, and guess what? The enemy fought it. I'll tell you how. We used to go downtown and sell CDs on the street corners and everything like that and begin to witness to people, whoever had questions, if they really wanted to talk. We knew that we were supposed to witness to them. And when it got bad, when we really needed money, guess what the enemy would do? He would come, send somebody and say, if you just take Jesus out of that, right? If you just take Jesus out of your music, you could be successful. Look at me. I'm successful. I'm going on tour. And it got to the point where I would tell my brother and say, look, today that's going to happen. Right? Watch. And we get out there, somebody do it. Why? Because the enemy was trying to discourage the plan of God. Amen? And he will do that in your life. He does it. He does that because he does not want the plan of God to succeed in your life. So he'll put a roadblock there. God is showing you, hey, you're doing all right. You're doing all right. But that roadblock will make you question. That's one of those circumstances that I talked about. It will make you question God's plan. But guess what? God's plan doesn't change based on a roadblock. Amen? It doesn't change. So we have to trust God's plan. And just like Abram, as he went on, he saw God as he fulfilled the plan of God in his life. Amen? So let's read that again. It says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. All right. And there he, which is Abram, built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Okay, so look, God right here reveals something that's going to happen later. That's God does that a lot, right? Why does he do that? Because he wants to see if you're going to have faith and believe that. He'll show you, like, as we started this church, God revealed that the things that this church would do, we'll be a church, we'll be a school, we'll be a health center or something like that, and a university. Is that all? Community outreach. So, now he revealed that when we started, and some of those haven't happened yet, right? But we don't get discouraged. Because God has already had a word. God's word has already stamped it. Amen? So as we continue to walk it out, I mean, we look at even Brother Art, how you came here. You didn't even live here. Right? We're hearing people that were moved into the neighborhood, haven't been in church in years, and God, they didn't want to even move in this neighborhood, but God sent them here for this ministry to pour into them. Amen. So as we look at what God has promised, we don't get discouraged by immediate results or what it looks like right now. But see, this is the key. Abraham worshiped God. Him building this altar unto God is a form of worship. Amen. He worshiped God for something God said, but he didn't even receive it yet. Now, some people would say that might be praise, but no, he didn't have it yet. So that's worship. He's worshiping God for who he is and trusting in God's word. Amen? So verse 8 says, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, and Ai, is that how you say that? Ai, on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. That's interesting. Abram, since he's following the plan of God, he didn't stay there and say, oh, God, this is my land. Oh, I'm going to be here. Okay. I'll just wait, God. No, God still had things to show Abram. Now check this out. This is very interesting. Verse 10. Now, when there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. Okay? Now, this is very interesting. Very interesting. But when we look at this scripture, this was one of the circumstances Abram faced. And because he faced this, he put his life in the hand of his wife. If you look at that, he's like, okay, hey, I beg you to tell that you're my sister. Don't say that you're my wife. That way I can live. Can we please make that deal? Right? So what is he doing here? He's not trusting God at this moment. He's trying to connive and do things for himself. Right? He's trying to save his skin. Right? So it was in verse 14, when Abram came into Egypt, that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commanded her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. You guys see that? He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued. Okay, now this is interesting. Why did God plague? Because Sarai is part of the plan of God. Now check this out. When you're married, guess what? The plan is not just for you. Right? God doesn't just give you a plan and your spouse has nothing to do with it. Even if they're not saved. Why? Because God's plan, first of all, is for you to be in unity. Amen. So we should be praying for our spouses that they see the plan of God. But because if Abram would have went somewhere, he wouldn't have had the lady Sarai, who was part of the plan of God in his life. And the plan wouldn't have succeeded the way that God had it in mind. Right? And God even said before that he will bless those that bless him and curse those that curse him. Right? So it says in verse 17, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. All right? Now, this is very interesting. Some people say Abram lied there, but they didn't have the Ten Commandments. Right? Abram walked in fear at that moment, but God even used this to promote Abram. Right? Because while Abram was there, they gave him many things. Amen? So we get to see first in this, that was the promise of God. And we also got to see hints of the promise in his life. Amen? Let's keep on reading in chapter 13. It says, then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Now, see, that did that just happen? It kind of happened suddenly, because when he left Egypt, he had a lot more than when he went into Egypt, right? So now Abram is already receiving his blessing. Guys, see that? And it says, Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now, Abram might have called on the name of the Lord because he probably didn't feel right. Like, God, I got all this stuff and I cheated these people. I don't know. Right? Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them that they may dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. And if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Right? Verse 10 says, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities and the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But, somebody say, but. The men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Okay? It says, And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to your descendants forever. All right? Now, he had already said that earlier, right? He had said that this land would be his. So God reaffirms the plan of God for his life. This is very important, because sometimes when you get out and you start walking in the plans of God for your life, it seems like it ain't working. But God will reaffirm you again and say, this is my plan that I've shown you. Trust in me. Right? But not only that, in this scripture, in verse 16, he adds an and. Guess what? Now, we all want that and from God. Right? He says, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. Now, if you try to count the dust, you're going to be counting for a long time, right? So if there, he even says, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. All right? So we see God tells him the plan, reaffirms the plan, and adds on to the plan, because Abraham is walking and trusting in the plan that God has for him. Amen? Then it says, verse 18, then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Now he went back to that same place where he had an encounter with God. And it's interesting. Why did he go back there? Because he still was having an encounter with God. He built another altar there to worship God, right? These altars that he builds, Abram wasn't just building things because he didn't have nothing else to do. When he says you built an altar, that is a place of worship, all right? So as we go through the plan of God, as we continue to walk in the plan of God, we must continue in worship. This place that I went, I remember what God did, so I need to, every time I get to this place, let me make a monument or something, not no idols, let's keep that clear, right? But let me in my heart now, because a lot of times we don't make those altars, but in my heart, let me remember that I needed to worship God because of what he's done. So every time I come back to that same place, man, I remember when God did that in my life. Oh, God, I just thank you, God, for opening up the doors of heaven and pouring out a blessing I shouldn't even have received. Thank you, God, for what we begin to do is we begin to worship God and set these worship points in our life. And not only worship, but sometimes they're praise, like, God, I can't even remember sometimes how God, you helped me pay the bills. God, I thank you for doing that for me. Amen. So you, in your hearts, you build these altars to give God praise. Amen. And that's very, very important. This is the last part that I'm going to read for today. Now, even with, this is crazy because Abram, he asked Lot, you pick which way you want to go, right? Lot picked the way that looked good. Now, this is important because sometimes we want to go the way that looked good. It already looks good, but that's not the plan of God. And see, remember I told you why Lot is like a tag along. We don't know if Lot was worshiping with him. We don't know that, right? Lot does kind of have a relationship with God, but it's through Abraham. If you watch the story, matter of fact, this part, and I'm not going to read this, Lot was in trouble because of the way that he went. Remember that it said, Abram said, pick a way that you want to go, and I'll go the other way. So Lot found a good land. Oh, yeah, look at that. Oh, man, got blackberries. Is that an apple tree? Oh, man, I can eat good over here. So he went that way. Abraham went the other way. But because of the relationship God had with Abram, Lot was saved because of the heart Abram had for Lot. Amen? So it's very interesting because, you know, maybe it would have been better for Lot to stay with the other people. We don't know. And sometimes I even say this. Sometimes God will give you a plan and there's going to be people that are with you for a while that everything is looking good, but they're going to go find something else that in the natural, it looks better. Right? And sometimes looking, and I'm not going to say sometimes, when you look in the natural away from the plan of God, it's not going to be good, right? There's going to be shortcomings. There's going to be fault. There's going to be failure. And how can I, people say, how can you say that? There was Paul in the Bible. Paul was with other men of God. And at times, those men of God said, I'm going that way. And Paul said, all right, bro, go ahead. I'm not going that way. This is the plan that God has for me. I even look in the scripture where Paul was going to certain places and people prophesied and said, Paul, that way there's going to be turmoil. And guess what Paul said? Okay, that's the way God told me to go, and I'm going. And they tried, hey, you know, we're trying to tell you not to go, but how many of you know that if God tells you to go, it doesn't matter what these people tell you? You have to keep on going. And I read the scripture about that young prophet who was swayed by an old prophet because he didn't listen to the voice of God. So Lot went the other way. For all that don't know, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were heavy in sexual immorality. Now we even hear sodomites, and what sodomites is homosexuality. They were doing all kinds of stuff. And God was displeased. This is in the Bible. You can read it for yourself. And because he was displeased, he was going to destroy that land. And he came and told Abram. See, this is the great thing about God. A lot of times people think disaster just happened, but sometimes he tells his people, hey, this is what's going on. You need to warn the people, or you need to begin to pray so I can save people. Amen? So what Abram does after he hears that God's going to destroy it, he's like, hey, wait. I got my nephew over there. That's my brethren, as he said. That's my people. God, you got to, okay, God, if there's 50 righteous, will you spare the land? So what is he doing? I said earlier, I preached on this before. He's interceding. He's praying that, okay, God, I know they deserve that. But God, if this is here, then let it be. And God said, okay, yeah, okay. And Abram was like, man, he said that a little bit too easy. What about 40, 30? Then he said 10, right? Guess what? There probably wasn't even 10 righteous in that place. But because, and how do I know there wasn't 10 righteous? Because there was only three that made it out alive. Lot and his two daughters. And the righteousness is still, right? But because Abram prayed on behalf, God saved them. Amen? I got ahead of myself because I didn't even. Yep. Actually, there was another that escaped. And this person that escaped came, and it's actually interesting. He's the one that came and told Abram what happened. Let's go to verse 18. It's the part that I wanted to get to. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God, Most High. Okay? Now, this Melchizedek, this is important because a lot of times when you read Hebrews and you read even some of the New Testament, Melchizedek was a type of Christ, right? He was the high priest. It's very important to see this because the Bible uses the Bible to confirm itself. Amen? And it says in verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessings be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. All right? Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. All right? Now it's interesting because this is before Sodom was destroyed. Right? So I'm sorry, I mixed some things up. It says, now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing, you guys see that? From a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, Anar, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion, right? So why does Abram do this? First of all, Abram pays a tithe to Melchizedek, right? This is the beginning of the covenant of God. This is the first time we see a tithe. Why does Abram do this? Because he trusts in the plan of God, right? See, people don't tithe because they don't trust in God's plan, right? I'm not going to give, if God's word says if I give money, he's going to give it back to me 100-fold. They're like, what are you talking about? Right? God is good, right? He should bless me because he's good, right? But God has things that he places in place to see if you trust his plan. This is another time that God or Abram confirms that he trusts in a plan of God by giving a tithe to this guy, right? He gave, and see, he could have been like some of us who give to God, and then somebody else wants to give to us because the king of Sodom comes and says, hey, I want to bless you, right? Now, some Christians will be like, oh, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, right? Listen, don't just take money from anybody, right? Why? Because sometimes there's strings attached to that money. If I know somebody did something extremely wicked to get that money, or it don't even have to be extremely wicked. If I know it was wrong on how they got that money, I don't want to touch it. Why? Because that money could be counterfeit money first, right? But there's something that is attached with it. And even Abraham said, I can't take anything from you lest it looks like you're the guy that put me on. You're the guy that made me rich. And why does Abram do that? Because he trusts that God is the God that is going to provide for him and bless him. Amen? Not only that, but I'm pretty sure he was from Sodom. Abram knew what was going on in Sodom. Right? How did Abram know? Because God has already revealed that to him. He might have saw Lot a couple times and be like, Lot, yo, something's not right, man. And sometimes we go through that and we see other people, something's not right. But the great thing about Abram, he didn't just stop there. I'm pretty sure he started praying before that. God, keep Lot. I don't know what's going on over there. God, touch his heart. Reveal to him what's going on. Hey, when you're back at your house with all those different people, begin to pray that. God, change these people's hearts. God, you see what's going on. You see the root of it. Dear God, touch their hearts. And God will begin to do that because he placed you there for a reason. Amen? We live in a world where a lot of times when things happen, Christians don't want to get involved, but sometimes we should be involved. I mean, that's why with this whole situation outside, anytime I see something, I want to tell people, hey, we're concerned with what's going on in this neighborhood, because, and not only in this neighborhood, we're with them, so they know that God's people care what's going on, right? We live in a day and age where people think God's people don't care because they don't have time for them. You got to schedule a meeting so I can pray for you. No, that's not how it should be, right? We should be God's hands, ears, and feet to the people that don't know God, to the people that are around us. Why? Because when we do that, they see, oh, man, they really care. I remember when there was an ambulance out there, I just went and said, hey, man, is everything okay? You know, and I was praying. They saw me praying. I didn't even go over there. I just started praying. And then the following week, I came and asked them, hey, is everything okay? And this was the longest conversation I had with them. Yeah, man, we appreciate you being concerned. She had this happened and this happened. And I was like, okay, man, I just want to let you know, bro, we care about what's going on in your life. You know, and he was like, man, we really appreciate that. Why? Because that allows people to see that God's people care, right? Not only that, but we are aware of what's going on. And it's important that we do that, right? So wherever you're at, be God's ambassador in that place. Let them see God. Even if they don't come to church right away, even if you don't see change right away, we still have to represent God no matter what we do. So if somebody ticks me off, I don't go cuss them out. Right? Why? Because I'm a representative of God. I can't lose it in that moment. Cause really, when you think about it, if you cuss somebody out, it doesn't make you feel any better. Matter of fact, you probably feel worse. Like, dang, I shouldn't have did that. Even people that ain't saved, they're like, maybe I shouldn't have went off like that. Right? But they're trying to blow off steam. So what we learn to do is, okay, God, it didn't work out the way that I wanted it, but God, I still praise you. It could have went a lot worse. It could have been a lot worse. Amen? But God, he blessed Abram, and Abram realized what his blessings were tied to. You guys catch that? Remember I said earlier, some people trust in man to get the plan of God in their life, right? They trust, okay, God, so God, you said that I was going to do this, or we start a church and it was going to be powerful. What man can I get that can recruit a whole bunch of people, right? Now what you're beginning to do is you're putting your trust in another man. Abram could have did that same thing when the king of Sodom said, hey, I got a lot for you, man. Let me bless you. But he said, no, I can't take that because I know God will bless me and I trust in God. Amen. So we get to see Abram, and I'm going to continue this next week. We're going to continue to see the covenant of Abram and even how the plan of God is revealed fully in Abram's life. and continue to see how we could trust God. Because I think the great thing about, especially the Old Testament, we get to see the real life story of how God took this person from here to fulfilling the purpose that God has for them. Amen? So I wanted to highlight some stories. I don't even know what the other stories are going to be yet. God is just dropping this into. I usually get some stuff going, and then the next week God will reveal something else, and we keep it going like that. Amen? But God showed Abram at this time. He showed him how to trust him, and he's teaching him and building him for the plan that God has for his life. And God does the same with us. Amen? Let us stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for the plan that you have for each and every one of us, oh God. Number one, thank you, dear God, for the plan of salvation that you have. Dear God, that you saved us. Dear God, you died just to keep us from sin. And that, God, you've given us the power to walk over sin and death, oh God. Hallelujah, dear God. I thank you, Jesus, that you are just a powerful God in our life, oh God. Dear God, and we pray, dear God, that you would allow us to continue to trust you. Trust your plan. The word said, trust in the Lord with all our heart, dear God. Remove the parts of our heart that do not trust you, oh God. Remove them so that we can focus on you. And dear God, as we go throughout this week, oh God, if there's roadblocks, if there's different things that are trying to stop us, dear God, allow us to know that your plan will prevail, oh God. And we can seek you and even worship and praise you for the things you've already done. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.